Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this first day of June 2020. And I'm very excited to have a person that I've known about for many years and just recently interviewed him for the first time. And I have him back for his second and third interview 2 days in a row. He's going to be on the program today and tomorrow. And I'm speaking of Ron McKinney, pastor of Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. And we are going to be addressing on today's program the progression of various Sovereign Grace Baptist movements of the 20th century. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Ron McKinney.
Thank you, sir. I thank you very much. I'm happy to be with you today, and I look forward to talking about this subject that you've mentioned of God's grace and how he has used men in his plan and purpose to spread the gospel. And we've had a rediscovery, Chris, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't mean that there hasn't been gospel before, because we know there has been, but there have been periods of time when the gospel has been submerged and has been looked at as being something not true, and we've had false gospel that has come. And it reminds me so much of what I read of in Galatians about the fact that they're preaching another Jesus, not the one that is of Scripture, but they're preaching their own kind of Jesus. And today, you can turn on the television, you can listen on the radio, you can go various places, and all you'll hear is a man-centered type of gospel. And so what we're happy to know is that God in his grace, around the 1950, I think would be a point that we could look at least I understand, when there seemed to be a rediscovery of the gospel. And when I say that, I mean people will say, well, no, there's always been the gospel. Yes, Jesus Christ and him crucified. But the gospel has to do with how you preach it and how you teach it. And you preach it with all of the Scripture, and you have to have a fundamental beginning point. You have to teach what man is and who God is, and you must be specific. You can't have generalities. We don't have just any kind of God. We have an almighty, infinite, eternal God who is ruling and reigning in everything that happens in this world. So this is a great subject for us to look at today. I think it would be something that anyone who has any interest in the Bible, as any interested in the things of God, should be careful about what they preach and teach as far as the gospel is concerned. I tell you what, I have a great burden, and yet it's not a burden that I don't want to bear, but I have a burden because I have a responsibility to preach this gospel clearly and faithfully and to all men. I have no question about preaching to all men. And yet I want to hear and see that those that are quickened by the Holy Spirit will respond and they will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I just thank God for this day and time that we've had the refreshing work of the Spirit and to bring back the gospel in its clarity and in its fullness. So there's where I begin, brother.
Amen. Well, you got me riled up. And basically, before you go into the heart of the program, as we always do, I'd like you to tell our listeners something about Kinsey Drive Baptist Church, where you serve as a pastor in Dalton, Georgia.
Yes, sir. I have been here. This August, I will have finished my 30th year in Dalton, Georgia. I came from Dallas, Texas, where I was pastoring there at Reformed Baptist Church, called the Reformed Baptist Church of Dallas, and I came here in 1990. It's an interesting thing about my even coming here. I knew of the church for a good while because a friend of mine, Gary Scott, had been the pastor here, and I was familiar with it, but I had never actually been to Dalton. So what happened was is that he left, and he took a church in New York, and so they called me, and they invited me to come to Dalton. If I may, I'll just tell you a little bit about my experience. Is that all right?
Oh, definitely. Go ahead.
All right. I came over on a Friday. I flew in. Saturday morning, I had breakfast with about 12 of the people, I guess you would call the pulpit committee, and we sat around the round table at the local Cracker Barrel, and we began to talk and discuss things, and there were people that, some that were older, some that were younger, some that were middle-aged. It was just different groups of men and women. And I just immediately, there was something about it, and I fell in love with the people. I just enjoyed my time with them. And we had breakfast, and we had times of talking. And then afterwards, the men, that I say the men, most of them were deacons in the church. One of them was, Dave Williams was one of them. And the head of the deacons was Herman Caldwell. And then there was Ronnie Boyd, and there were just several others. And we rode around Dalton to see the city. And they took me to the Arts Guild. I'm telling this because it has something to do with my coming. And I have an interest in art. I've painted and drawn for a number of years, and I've taught art. But what I did was I went to the Guild, and they had a show that was there by Ed Kellogg, who was a personal friend of mine from Covenant College. And he had a display. And I was so amazed at that display that they had there, and that it was somebody that I knew. And then they took me around to see all of the plants in Dalton, Georgia. You know, this is the capital. This is the capital of the carpet industry and making of carpet. It started here in the late 50s or late 40s, and the carpet mills, they're just huge carpet mills here. And we have in Dalton, we have the companies that are the largest. You have Shaw Industry that has about 30% of all of the world's carpet. Now, I'm not talking about the United States. I'm talking about the world. And then there's Mohawk. And then there's all these other companies. And there really are, what I've been told previously, there's like 300 different outlets for purchasing carpet. There are 200 mills and plants that are here. They're all over this area. And so there's a lot of money that is in this small city. And that doesn't bring a lot of spirituality, I will tell you for sure, because it was reported that Dalton was the number one place for divorce, which is kind of interesting because there was a lot of money. But what happened is that we went around, and I spent the day with him, and then they sent me home on Saturday evening. They didn't even have me preach. I did have a meeting with the deacons. And they were interested, but they didn't offer me anything to come. And so after that, I came back the next week with my family, and then they asked me to preach. We had a dinner. And I fell in love with the people, and that was all that matters. And I said to my daughter when we were going home after the second visit, I said, honey, what would you think if we went to Dalton? And she says, well, Daddy, she was about 12 years old. She said, I think I would have a lot more time with my daddy. And that just kind of sealed it for me.
Oh, that's nice.
And so we came home over here, and we loaded up, and man, we drove all night because the air conditioning on our car, we had a van, had gone out. We just drove right straight through, and you know, the Lord just blessed that trip. I can remember in the middle of the night, 3 or 4 in the morning, listening to Moody Radio, and there was playing some music and everything, and I was singing in my heart. And I actually was singing out loud. The others were sleeping. But the glory of the Lord was just before me. And so we arrived that morning about, 8 o'clock, 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And guess what? I had 9 people there at the parsonage. And they met the truck. And they unloaded the truck and they sent me and my family to a hotel to get rest. And they unloaded the whole truck for us. And they had previously painted the interior of the house. I mean, these people showed such love. You know what? And they loved the truth of the gospel. They were taught well. They had a great teacher in Gary Scott. And so they loved the word, and so we came in, and immediately we had family. We had people that we loved, and they just embraced us, and my kids enjoy being in this place. We have about 12 acres here, and we're in kind of the southern end of the town, and it's not very crowded, and the children could ride their bicycles without having any fear. We came from Dallas. I always say we came from Big D, Dallas, to Little D, Dalton. But I love the city, and I've fallen in love with the people here at Kinsey Drive.
Well, praise God for that. I'm very easily convinced that the people fell in love with you, that's for sure. And if anybody wants to look up more information about Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia, just go to KinseyDriveBaptistChurch.com, KinseyDriveBaptistChurch.com, and hopefully we'll remember to repeat that.
We have some publications called The Sword and the Trial. Sword and the Trial that are online on that website, Chris, and these magazines will give you some history. One of them is on our anniversary and has a lot about the history of the church. The church began in 1974. They were part of another church called South Dalton. And a man by the name, I'm trying to remember his name. I know it, but I'm trying to remember it, so it's hard for me. His name is Robert Mount. That's what his name is, Robert Mounts, who was there, and he began to teach what we call the doctrines of grace. And I know that he had a couple of men came in. One was Henry Mahan from Kentucky, came in and preached for him. But the people that were there in that church, there were those that received it and those that didn't. So at a particular time, there were a number of people that left. I think it was something like 175 or 80 people who left on a Sunday. And they began a new church, and there was property that was available here on Kinsey Drive that had a previous church that had folded and was not in existence, so they were able to come in and purchase the property. It was already made. So that was the founding of the church with Robert Mounts, and he stayed for a year or so, and they even had the influence of starting a school when Gary Scott was pastor, and a very effective Christian school. And one of the things that's happened to us here is that Kinsey Drive has been the base, I would say, or the foundation for a number of organizations in our community. One is Christian Heritage School began here at Kinsey Drive Baptist Church. I say that because if it had not been for the people of Kinsey Drive allowing the school to begin here and allowing them to have the facilities that they had, Christian Heritage School would not exist. Now, let me tell you what Christian Heritage School is today. It's located on 175 acres on the east side of Dalton. It has a value of $60 million debt-free. It's the only Christian school that I know of that is debt-free. We have a wonderful, fine school that is Christian-oriented and gives a Christian world and life view. And so what I'm saying by that, this was the very birthplace of that. And the church charged the school $250 a month for the first 10 years. And they had use of all of our facility. Now, I was a part of that, and I enjoyed it. I served on the board of directors. I served in a number of other areas. But, my, what an amazing thing. These people provided not only the place, but they had all of the desks and all the other things that were necessary. So we have a school here that is looked at with amazement because it is debt-free. You just don't hear about that. We had a campaign and raised $30 million in one campaign within 5 years and built a brand-new high school debt-free on property that was given to us across the road, 104 acres, by a family who previously had been in the school. Now, that's what has happened. I always say you cannot despise the day of small things. I'm talking about, you know, when you start out with something. I remember Christian Heritage School here. We were so small. We struggled. We struggled to pay the teachers, and they weren't making more than about $12,000 a year. I mean, it was difficult. But what happened was that God blessed, and when God blesses something, it will grow and it will mature. And it's like Hudson Taylor said, God's work done in God's way will not lack God's supply. It will not lack God's. God will provide what we need. I want to tell you one other thing, Chris, that is amazing to me, is that I had a couple who moved here from the Washington, D.C. area. Actually, they were living in Montgomery County up there in Maryland, and they were musicians. They had been in a church there. Brother Fleming was a pastor at one time, and they know Brother Ed Fleming, who is a pastor friend of mine. But they moved here to retire at 65, and he was an orchestra director, Todd violin, viola, the cello, all the string instruments. He can teach all the others as well. He was a musician. And his wife was a musician as well. She could write for orchestration. They both had masters from Duquesne University in Pittsburgh. Just lovely people. But more than anything, these people had a love for the gospel, for the truth. And they moved down here. They live about 40 minutes away from our church. But they came to visit. And when they heard the gospel, they said, this is where we want to go. So I had lunch with them and that week with my wife. And we said, what do you do? They said, well, we're teachers. And we're retired teachers. And I said, really? And so what did you teach? Well, we taught music. Well, I had four children growing up. And I had them in the school, and I was thinking, my, it sure would be nice to have some of them playing instruments or doing something. And I said, would you be willing to teach them? And they said, yes. Now, I want to tell you, this is an amazing story. These two people are people that I regard with the highest respect. They love truth more than anything. They're retired. They've been one of the greatest supporters of the church for 30 years. They never missed a service or anything. They just now have had to keep from coming because of their health. But my, they were a part of it. And what they did is they started teaching these kids, these children. And then, and what happened was that we get 18 to 20, maybe 25. Before long, we had a little orchestra, and that was 27 years ago. And today, we have a full-fledged 60-piece symphonic orchestra, and it plays music that is just unbelievably beautiful. And they perform, and whenever they perform, they have about 1,100 people come, 1,000 to 1,200 people come every time. And they have several performances every year. That started. It's called LaBrie Symphonic Orchestra. And, of course, what I did, I gave it that name because of...
Francis Schaeffer.
Yes, sir. He had an effect upon my life in such an amazing way because he had an interest in the arts. And I was artistic, and I loved music. I loved art. And so it just drew me to... his philosophy of, you know, being involved. And so here we have, every several months we will have a concert of the LaBrie Orchestra. What I started here, along with Christian Early School, is I had what's called the LaBrie Academy of Fine Arts. And we taught music, we taught art. I taught about 65 students a week in the arts. And then we had other things that were involved as far as the arts were concerned. So there were two schools at the same time, but not competing with each other, but really complementing each other. And then another thing that happened is a friend of mine, Chuck Harris, who is the pastor down in Columbus, Georgia.
Was he at one time involved with the a Christian athletic organization?
FCA, that's who it is. Do you know Chuck?
I saw him preach once in Bayside, Queens, at North Shore Baptist Church.
Okay, and who was the pastor there at that time? Do you remember?
Ed Moore, and he's still the pastor.
Ed Moore, that's right. And his son, Justin, or something. I met him about a year or so ago.
Parker?
Anyway.
Or Charlie?
Yes. But Ed Moore is a good friend of Chuck. Well, Chuck believed in grace, but he was appointed to be the director in the state of Georgia for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so when he became director, he asked me, since he knew me, if I would be on his board of directors. He had what he called a board of directors that was right under him, and then there was another board of directors, but he asked me to be a part of that, which I would have never done it had it not been for Chuck. because some of the things that happened through that FDA is not altogether what I agree with, but it was Chuck, and I knew that he was going to center upon Christ.
In fact, Chuck preaches so loud that he makes L. Martin sound like Truman Capote.
I just had him preach for me just a few months ago.
He's oh, great.
Here in Dalton. Yeah, and we still see each other. And what I was going to say about it is that in this we started the FDA, and actually some of the meetings were held right here at our church. And I'm telling you this not to say our church is anything. It's just that God used small things at the beginning. And I used to have them come, and we would meet, and we would talk about what we're going to do. And it started actually with another man who was a coach in the area. And I got with him in 1992, and we started, and we did not have one huddle group in any one of the schools here in Dalton or in the surrounding area. Not one. A huddle group is people that come together, like teachers and principals and things that helped run FCA for a school. Not one. Today, there are 68 schools who have huddle groups, and that means there's at least a dozen or more, and times many more. And only any given week, from this comes from the head man that I've been talking to even recently, is that there are those that meet. There's something like 2,700 kids, teenagers that meet on mornings for FCA in 68 different schools. God has worked. Now, I know that Chuck preaches the gospel, and I supported him because of that. And God did a marvelous thing in blessing the FCA. It has been amazing to me to see what's taken place. And that's all from a little small meeting that we had. I can even name the men that were there. The men that were there was Pete Wilson Sr., and there was a man, let's see, who is it? Trying to remember. Forgive me for my memory, but there's several Chuck... there was Chuck, not Chuck Harris, but another Chuck that was there. Anyway, these guys came together, and we just prayed and asked God to do something. And now their budget is over $1 million every year. I'm amazed. You know, again, if we go back, small things. You never know what God's going to do with it. And I would say this, I haven't mentioned this at all, but, you know, for a number of years, about 13 years, I was editor of the Sword and Trial magazine. And that was from I was with it from 1974 to 1986 or 7, it was. And it was started by John Riesinger.
He obviously named it after Spurgeon's magazine.
Oh, yes. It was named after... What a name, though. I mean, it's taken from Nehemiah, of course, there. And I loved the theme that was there. And anyway, what we were doing is we were publishing monthly this magazine that we would send out to people. And it started off... In fact, John started with about 500 people that he knew. That's who he gave it to. And in the magazine would be a sermon by Charles Spurgeon. There would be something that John would write. There'd be something that somebody else and so forth. It wasn't anything. It wasn't a masterful magazine. But you know what? People who got it seemed to love it because it began to grow. I saw it grow from when we started in 1974. He brought it down to Clinton, Mississippi, where real close to Reformed Theological Seminary. That's where I went to seminary and I graduated. And so because I was down there, he felt this would be the thing to do. And we set up a place. I had a building there that we housed the sword and the trial. We started to do some television and some radio ministry. And John and I worked together, and he was the executive editor. And what happened was is that this magazine began to grow because people were coming to believe in the grace of God. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited or particular atonement, the effectual calling, and then the perseverance of the saints. All of those things were beginning to become important to people. And so we just send this magazine. Well, we didn't always charge people. We just sent it out. We did it just free of charge almost. Whatever we could get in for money, we were just sending out more and more literature. We published some books. But one of the things that happened is that when I moved to Dallas, Texas, and that would have been, I'm trying to remember now. I was 77. I moved to Dallas, Texas, and we started publishing the Sword and Trial from there. And I began to get a mailing list of others. For instance, Ernie Riesinger, you know who I'm talking about?
Yes, he founded the church where I'm a member right now.
Ernie and I, he came and stayed at our house for probably a week or more. We had a great time. I got movies, 8mm movies of him playing with my oldest daughter. She was about 2 or 3 at the time. She's now 41. But, I mean, we had such a fellowship and love, and we went to Southwestern Seminary. Now, Southwestern, it was started by B.H. Carroll. You know that. And it was founded upon the grace of God, the doctrines of grace. And it was something that just permeated that school at one time. But then things changed. And no longer was that interested, but people interested in it. But what I was going to say is Ernie and I went there together, and we sat down with one of the directors. It wasn't the president, but one of the directors. And we asked him, we said, would you give to us the mailing list of all of your graduates? And Ernie was going to mail to them the book by James Pettigrew Boyce on the abstract theology. Now, I want you to know that book is full of grace. It's full of grace.
James and so was James Pettigrew Boyce.
That's the school up there where Al Mohler is. They have a
yes
Boyce.
Yes, what I said was he was full of grace as well, is what I said.
Yes. Oh, I see. Okay. Well, Boyce was the one that really started the Southern Baptist Convention, as far as I know. But I always tell people I'm more Southern Baptist Convention than most people who say they are, because I believe in the doctrine that they taught back in that day. But what I was going to say is that we got these addresses, and he and I sent them the Sword and the Trial, a subscription, and it was free of charge. They would get the Sword and Trial, and then they got this book by James Pettigrew Boyce. And God has used that, brother. He has used. I think Ernie must have sent out thousands and thousands of those books.
Wow.
The reason I know this is one of the men that was on his board. His board was his name is Bates, Dan Bates. He was a deacon in the church at North Pompano Beach Baptist Church. It was a Southern Baptist, a convention church. And he was a deacon there, and he came to understand the grace of God. And so he was a part of that. When they got all these books in, they had to mail them out to these young men. And so Dan was a part of that. He said he used to go in, and they would wrap and mail these James Pettigrew books. Now, let me tell you one little thing that I've been told, and I take it as truth, is that in North Pompano Beach, there was one person who got one of these books. Now, he was the elder Moeller. It was Albert Moeller's father got one of those books by Boyce. He lived in North Pompano Beach, and he passed it on to his son, who is Junior. Now, you know who Al Moeller is.
Yes.
Al Moeller Jr.
Yes.
He's president of the Southern Seminary, and he read that book before he even got to college at Samford, and then later going to Southern Seminary and all that his studies were. But he was exposed to the doctrines of grace through James Pettigrew Boyce.
Wow. We have to get...
Amazing?
Yes, it is. And we have to go to our first break right now. And I want you to pick up.
Right.
I want you to pick up right where you left off. When we return, if anybody wants to send in a question, our email is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Ron McKinney after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and our guest today for the full 2 hours, with a little less than 90 minutes to go, is Ron McKinney, pastor of Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. And we are discussing the progression of various Sovereign Grace Baptist movements of the 20th century. This is day one of our two-day interview. Tomorrow, on June the 2nd, we'll be discussing something that will be announced later as far as the topic is concerned. So where you left off, basically, was that Al Mohler was the recipient of that book by J. Pettigrew Boyce, the very famous Calvinistic Baptist of the 19th century that actually was a part of the formation of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yes, sir.
And that's where we left off.
Yes, sir. Let me go and kind of give you some of the people that I felt had such an influence in those early days, and I'm talking about would be the 60s and the 70s. I had the experience of going to Belhaven College on a basketball scholarship. I was from Lake Charles, Louisiana. I played basketball, and they gave me a scholarship to go there. I knew nothing about it. I certainly didn't know anything of what they were teaching there as far as the Bible was concerned. I did know that it had connections with Presbyterians. But at that time, Belhaven was what I would consider it to be very conservative in terms of Scripture, the holding to the infallibility of Scripture, that all Scripture is inspired by God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Morton Smith, who was 17 years the head of the PCA church, what I mean is he was the stated clerk. The first 17 years, Morton Smith, he was my Old Testament, my Bible teacher. Old Testament, OTBT, we called it. And he would talk about predestination. I was 17 years old. I was kind of young when I went to school, but I sat there, and what he was saying made such sense to me. For instance, he would talk about in the fact that the Bible spread throughout the world, the reason being because of the Roman Empire and because of the fact that there was one language, Koine Greek, and they could then go into other parts of the then known world and they could spread the gospel. Well, you know, he said that was God's providence. That's the way God planned it and executed it. And I thought to myself, that makes sense. That makes sense that everything's working together. And so as I began to understand more and more of the sovereignty of God, and he was in control. And I think I told you last time that I got a hold of that book by Lorraine Bettner. I took it home. My dad read it, and then I read it. But it was on the Reformed doctrine of predestination. Well, I'd always heard predestination, and it was kind of a scary thing. You know, you kind of fall down, and you brush yourself off and say, well, I'm glad that's over. You know, that kind of thing. I mean, it was just, you know, didn't want to talk about predestination. It's scary, you know. I don't have anything to do with it. But then I began to see that predestination, God, that beforehand has planned. The word predestination comes from prohorizo, and pro means the beginning or the first, the new. At first, in other words, there was something that the horizon was the other word that you used. Beforehand, the horizon. You know what is going to happen because it's already been planned. I got. Now, that frightened me when I was young. I was afraid of that word. We wouldn't even mention the word. But now, all of a sudden, it had a warmth to me. What I mean is, I began to see, you know, everything God's working in me, and he's working it for my good. Not he's not trying to punish me. I used to have a terrible time because of my upbringing in terms of sanctification. I wanted to run and hide. I knew that I wasn't what I should be, and I wasn't what I ought to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. That's kind of the way I felt about it. I'm thankful that God showed me the truth, that he is working his plan in me and through me, and that I'm not just a puppet. No, there are the secondary means that we have to work out. You know, you stand in front of a train and get hit, you're going to be killed. But, you know, if God's working his will, I say, if you do that, you were ordained to be stupid, and you proved you made your calling election. But, you know, I had Morton Smith, and then there were others there that just, Norman, what was his last name? He was a New Testament teacher. He was such a sweet, kind man, and he taught the scriptures. It was special. I just, you know, I had some great teaching there. Then I was exposed in seminary to some of these men. There was Jack Scott. There was a number of others that I had that were just really excellent teachers. And then I was exposed in the summer. One summer, we went down to Pensacola, Florida. They used to have a conference there. The McClellan Church there would have a big, it was a reform kind of conference. They had David Martin Lloyd Jones. They had just all of the fine speakers. And then they had Al Martin one year, and I went down there that year. My dad, my mother, in fact, the whole family, we went down to Pensacola for that conference. And I heard Al Martin preached from the parable of the sower.
In fact, we're going to have to pick up right where you left off because we have to go to our midway break.
Okay.
So if anybody would like to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And folks, don't forget that this is a longer than normal break. Please be patient with us. This is because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they have to air their own public service announcements to localize this show to Lake City, Florida, while we air our globally heard commercials. So try to remember to write down as much of the information from our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them so that they stick around longer and remain our advertisers so that we can stick around longer because we require their funding to exist. But also write questions for our guest today, Ron McKinney, at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in his holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and his doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi,
I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours, with about an hour to go, is Ron McKinney, pastor of Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. He's going to be with us today and tomorrow. And our topic today is the progression of various Sovereign Grace Baptist movements of the 20th century. Before we return to that discussion, we just have some important announcements to make. First of all, this Friday is part three of our debate on hyper or full preterism. Full preterism, as you may or may not know, is the belief that everything that has been prophesied in the Bible has occurred before AD 70, and specifically that everything in the New Testament that has been prophesied has occurred on AD 70. And the premier apologist that defends that view is debating Sam Frost, who formerly believed that before adopting an orthodox belief in eschatology. we had the two-day debate already last Thursday and Friday, and we had so many questions come in by email that we're having a third day for the debate, primarily the vast majority of which will be used specifically for audience questions. So mark your calendars for this Friday for day number three of the full preterist debate between Don K. Preston and Samuel M. Frost. And also, folks, if you love this show and you do not want it to go off the air, please remember that we need your financial support. If you go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, you can mail in a check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church. And never, please never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God in the scriptures, providing for church and family. Providing for my show is not a command of scripture, obviously. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and let's say you have money that you have saved because with the quarantining going on from the coronavirus pandemic, you haven't been going to your favorite sporting events, you haven't been going to concerts, you haven't been going out fine dining, you haven't been going to theatrical performances or movies or Bible conferences, and you have a lot of money that you save because of that, please use some of that to help us remain on the air if indeed you love the show and don't want us to disappear. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign immediately as long as whatever it is that you're advertising is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me in order to advertise, but you need to be promoting something that at least is compatible with what I believe. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. And if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, you can get help from me, God willing. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I have helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience find churches in all parts of the world that they have either joined themselves or that they have referred to loved ones who didn't know of a biblically sound church near them. Or at times they visit these churches while they're on vacation. But whatever the reason is you need a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to our guest, Ron McKinney, pastor of the Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And Pastor Ron, you may recall that before the break you were telling our listeners on how you went to a Bible conference that featured Al Martin, who is going to be speaking on the parable of the soils. And what year was that?
I think it was 1972. And I can't be specific more than that at this point. I could find out. But I was still in seminary, and it was near the time that my dad had left the church he was pastoring and started a new church. And that started in 1970. So it probably was about 1972, that summer. And Robert Strong was also there, and there was kind of at that meeting, which was a very large gathering at that point, in as far as conference is concerned, And but Al Martin was preaching in the morning, and he was preaching on the four different soils.
Well, that will wake you up if Al Martin's preaching in the morning.
Oh, let me tell you, some of these people had never heard preaching like that before. Some of them didn't know what preaching really was. But I mean, he had an unction that I would say God was definitely with him. And in the morning when we met in that building, they were hanging from the rafters. That place was so full, they couldn't get everybody in there. I mean, it was just amazing. But he was dealing with the very issue of, you know, that people profess with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. You know, they don't, they're not committed to being a believer and loving him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. In other words, it was dealing with easy believism. And, of course, he dealt with those soils as being the truth. You know, some that hear, and they hear for a while, or they seem to believe, but then they forsake it. You know, another one where the thistles come up and choke it. And he was saying by that, he said, you know, these that live their life and they become choked by the cares of life, he says, that's not true salvation. And it was amazing what he was teaching, because it really hadn't been, I don't think, heard like that before. And I tell you, it was a glorious time for me. Al Martin came to speak at Reformed Theological Seminary. That was about the same time. It was right after that he came to the seminary, and he was there with John Hirsch. I'm trying to remember. He was the one that's R.C. Sproul's teacher.
John Gerstner.
Gerstner. I cannot think of it at the moment. I'm just saying, they were speaking at the same time, and then later on at Reform Center, they had Dick DeWitt. Do you remember Dick DeWitt?
Oh, yes.
John?
Yes, he was expelled from the RCA, Reformed Church of America, because he would not financially support their liberal colleges and seminaries.
Yeah. He was a personal friend, and I say I was a friend. I spent some time with him. He preached for my father down in Louisiana, and we rode back together to the seminary, and he spoke at the seminary. He was a fine, fine preacher.
Yes.
But there are so many people that I'd just love to mention, just how they had influenced not only what was happening, but it was influencing my life for sure. Of course, John Reisner was the man that had the greatest influence on me. He was a man that, when I came to grace, when I came to understand sovereign grace, I left the church with 35,000 members, and I was head of all of the department there. And I had a place of ease as far as ministry was concerned. Could have stayed there, but when I heard the gospel, it drew my heart to the point that I had to leave. I could not keep it to myself. But I heard John preach on election. And I can almost preach that sermon right now, because it was so wonderful, because he presented it in such a powerful way, but it had simplistic. He used illustrations that you could understand, but he made it so sweet and precious. And I tell you what, I just sat there and wept. I was so amazed that God would choose me, that he would do that, that was his will and purpose. Man, out of all the billions and billions of people, that even that he would have any knowledge of me, you know, just kind of overwhelmed me. I remember going out course, I was young. I went out to a football field, and I was kicking the ball, and I was just enjoying myself by myself. And it became evening, and the darkness came in, and then it came out some stars. And I remember as I looked up there, and I said, I cannot believe that God loved me even before he made those stars. He knew me, and he set his affection on me, that he would call me and draw me and redeem me by his own son, that I was one of those that was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Boy, I tell you what, brother, I fell on my knees and I worshiped God, because he was my God. He had done this for me. And I tell you, that was one of the most wonderful experiences that I had, because as I learned more and more about grace, as I learned about God's imputed goodness, of his imputation as far as his righteousness is concerned, that it was not my feeble attempts at being good and righteous that meant anything at all. Not at all. It was that Jesus had done it all for me, and that he gave it to me as a gift. He gave it, and I'm covered by the perfect righteousness of Christ alone, that I'm going to be able to stand before God. Not because I'm a good man, or I had a good father, or I had a good family, or I did good things. I'm going to be there before the Father, because Jesus is my elder brother, and he took my place. And he died in my stead. And then he gave me his perfection. Brother, that's something that you can't ever get away from. That's God's truth.
Well, we have a listener who has a question for you, brother.
All right.
And it gives me joy to know that after so many years of you being saved, that you still weep over these precious things.
Oh, my.
But we have Andrew in Dalton, Georgia. Pastor Ron, what a joy it is to listen to you on today's program. I love hearing these stories recounted and your insights on them. If you haven't already done so, as I began listening late, can you please share the story of the story regarding the formation of Kinsey Drive Baptist Church? You already did that, I believe, but if there's anything you want to add to that.
Well, I will say this, that in the beginning, of course, it was a difficult thing, because there was a parting of ways with some people, but there wasn't any ugliness that I know of, and I do know that there was love that was shown towards them and the ones that they left. But the early days of the church here, Kinsey Drive, was vibrant and alive. I'm talking about the fact that the men that were deacons there, for the most part, were godly men, and they started a school under Gary Scott, and there were many things that took place that I would say was God honoring. They have a reputation. I'm saying the church has a reputation in town. We're kind of known as those that believe in predestination. I remember I had a young pastor came into the city, and he was going to pastor another church here, and he said the deacons were taking him around, and they came by our church, and they pointed to it, and they said, now those people are predestinarians, and all of a sudden, that's what they were calling us. But you know, I have had fellowship with a lot of people here in this city. I was on television for 29 years. I know that people have seen and known, and they know what I believe. And I've loved some of these other brethren. Some of them I've differed with them, and, you know, there have been times. But for the most part, it's been a loving relationship. And I believe that our testimony here is one that we exalt Christ. Christ is exalted. We exalt the Scriptures. The Scriptures is first and foremost. And the early days when, as I mentioned, Robert Mount, when he was here, he is a great Bible teacher. He was an excellent teacher. In fact, he ended up teaching some at Reformed Theological Seminary. But then the man that came back, came here, Gary Scott, was an excellent, excellent theologian and preacher. And he also became the headmaster of the school. They had a Kinsey Drive a Christian Academy that was here. And Gary Scott was the one who led that and did a marvelous job. I always said I had the easiest situation at all. I came in on the what Gary had done, and he had plowed the field, and here I came in to be able to sow what was taking place. I mean, Gary was just a blessing to all these people. He's still very dear.
Well, I hope that he's listening today. He's also a dear friend of mine, and I hope he's listening because you've been erupting with a volcano of very dear compliments for him from very often.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's a man that I have great. I esteem him greater than myself. I do love him, and I appreciate him. You know, let me just mention a couple of other men that probably are unknown that were a part of, again, the founding, a man by the name of Steve Carpenter, who's from Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri. He went to Dallas Theological Seminary, well educated. In fact, he's one of the brightest that I think had come out of there, he and Sam Storms. And, I think about him, Steve. He struggled at times, but boy, what a blessing he was, because he was such a great teacher. Such a great. You remember Bob Barnhart? Bob Barnhart. You remember him?
No.
Is that his name? Barnhart. He was a good friend of John Riesinger's. He pastored up in Paradise, Pennsylvania. Charles Barnhart. That's what his name is. Charles Barnhart. You're bound to have heard of him. He was up in that area for a long time. He served on our board of directors of the Sword and Trial, and just dear man, he's gone to be with the Lord. I had another man that I was thinking of that not very many people would know. His Richard Ali. He was a dear brother who died at 40 with cancer, but he was so diligent in those early days of preaching the gospel. Drew Garner. Are you familiar with Drew Garner? He was in Houston.
Yes, I am familiar with Drew.
Drew, you know, he pastored a church in Tennessee. What happened was it was a large, large Southern Baptist church. I don't know if you've heard this story or not, but he had someone came to the church, and he got the name and address, and he went by to visit him. He says, as a good Southern Baptist pastor will do. And he said, the man invited him in, and he wanted to take him into his library. And this man had this huge library. And, of course, Drew was kind of stunned by this. He was a young pastor. And so the man gave him a book. He gave him A.W. Pink's book on the sovereignty of God. And he went home, and he didn't read it, but he put it down, and his wife, Frances, picked it up, and she read it. And he came home the next day. She was sitting in the chair, and she was weeping. And he said, Frances, what's going on? What's wrong? Oh, she said, Drew, you've got to read this book. Oh, this is amazing. This is amazing. How great God is. And so he read the book, and of course it changed his theology, and so he began to preach having a large congregation, Southern Baptist. It was a large one. And he said, I began to preach on the first thing I thought was total depravity. And he said, I had 14 messages that I planned to preach. And he said, I preached the first message. And that Sunday night, it was Monday morning, at 1 o'clock in the morning, he had 14 deacons came to his house, knocked on the door, and fired him in his pajamas because he was preaching on total depravity. I mean, of all things, you know, that they would reject, that man is completely helpless and hopeless without God. But, I mean, Drew was a good friend, and I've got here on my screen D.A. Carson. He's been a dear brother.
Yes, I've seen him preach a number of times. And he's been on the show at least once.
Have you ever heard of O. Palmer Robertson?
Yes.
He was a Presbyterian. Yes.
Yes.
Went to school with him, he finished the year before I got to Belhaven, but I got to know him, and we became very good friends. Greg Bonson, he was a friend of mine. You're familiar with Greg Bonson?
Oh, yeah, I had the privilege of...
The book on theonomy.
Yes, I had the privilege of meeting him in Brooklyn, New York, when he was preaching at Messiah's Congregation in the early 1990s. And Pastor Steve Schlissel said to me, I know one day you're going to be a talk show host, so I want you to interview Greg Bonson in my study after the worship service today. So I had the privilege of interviewing Greg Bonson, but a very horrible thing happened. I lost the tape.
Oh, no. Well, let me tell you, I became friends with him. I heard him speak on particular atonement, and he was exhaustive. I mean, he just exhausted the subject. He did such a great job on it. I did not agree with his theonomy, though I think he was the most consistent of his covenant theology.
Well, I'm going to be interviewing Gary DeMar, God willing, on the 19th of June to promote his new book on Greg Bonson.
Oh, is that right? Well,
yeah, he's going to be on the second half of the show. Oz Guinness is on the first hour.
Yeah. Well, I knew him when he first came to Reformed Seminary. We played tennis together. We became friends. We attended at one time, just for a time, the same church. And he was a sweet, kind, and gracious man, though I disagreed with him. But I felt he was a very consistent covenant theologian. But anyway... And did you ever know Henry Mahan?
I didn't know him personally, but I knew who he was.
I know him well. He was just a precious man. Met him very early when we came to Grace, and he was one of those that he had a charming way about him. Yeah, but he could preach on depravity. And he talked about being lower than a snake's belly and things like that. It was a charming way about it, you know, but he was so consistent. And the one thing I mentioned about him, he preached his son's own funeral. His son was 21, and he joined the army, was sent to Vietnam. Within 3 weeks after being in Vietnam, he was in a helicopter flying over some trees, and a sniper shot him and killed him. He was sent home, and he told his wife, Doris, he says, honey, I've been preaching about the sovereignty of God, about predestination, and it's time for us to live it. And he got up and he preached his own son's funeral. And brother, that is powerful. He says, Bobby did not live one day longer. nor one day shorter than God planned and purposed. Whew, I tell you what, I tell you, that takes great.
Amen.
What it was. He said, God planned it all, and that it was his time. He said he lived a full and complete life. Don't give me this. He didn't get to do this and that. He said he lived a full life. That was what God purposed. And so I honored that. I think that's just a marvelous thing. A couple of other people here I see. Randy Pizzino. Do you know Randy?
Oh, yeah. I had the privilege of hearing him preach not only at the church where I was a member on Long Island, but at the church he was pastoring in Roanoke, Virginia at one time, Trinity Church.
Yeah, I preached there as well. That's been a long time ago. But I got in touch with him when he was in Africa. He was doing some teaching over in Africa with a friend of mine, Bobby Penny. And that was an interesting. I see Gary D. Long. You're familiar with Gary D. Long, aren't you?
Yes. Gary just preached about a year ago at the John Bunyan Conference at Bill Sasser's church, Grace Church at Franklin, and I was there. I was present, and I've been giving away Gary's book on definite atonement for years.
Yeah. Oh, listen, he's very thorough. He's very thorough. I love what he did on Matthew 5:16-17. That's an excellent work. Then I see Tom Nettles here. I've known Tom Nettles since college days. He played basketball for Mississippi College, and I played for Belhaven College.
Yeah, I'm a very good friend of Tom's as well, and he's been a guest here many times on this show.
Yeah. Well, we beat him. Beat Mississippi College. Anyway. He's a terrific guy. You know Jerry Locher?
Right? No.
He's in from Michigan. He's about 85 or 6 now. Preached in Gladwin, Michigan. Have a tremendous story about him that he was in the Army. He joined the Army when he's 16, back after the Korean War, I guess. You know, he wasn't supposed to be, but he joined. And he told me about some of the things that happened to him being in a foxhole and the guy next to him getting shot. But one of the things that he talked about, he was not a believer, of course. He was just, you know, a man that lived life and loved things of the world. But he, in the one of the places where they were, a man was injured. This is during the war. One of the men was injured, and there were all these people around him. They called for a medic to bring to get some plasma. And what happened was, he said, they told me, that is Jerry Locher, go get the plasma and bring it back. He says, I got up and walked away, and there were about four or five people around this man, and they lifted him up, and he was on a mine. And he says, all of a sudden, their arms and legs flying everywhere. And he said, I was spared. And that was one of the things that caused him to call upon God. And then he became a minister of the gospel. I just think amazing how God calls men in different ways and how he uses them, you know, and how what a change he makes in the life of individuals. I just love hearing people's testimonies when they are able to express it in such a way of God's grace just being so paramount in their lives. Another man I see here I have on my screen is John Montgomery Boyce.
Montgomery Boyce.
James, forgive me. James Montgomery Boyce, who had a tremendous influence over me. I met him in Dallas. Of course, he was in Philadelphia, pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church there. But he was not a mainline covenant theologian. he had some new covenant in him, as far as I'm concerned. But he was just a great man. He's just so gracious and tender and an excellent speaker. I heard him speak also when he was in Jackson, Mississippi, at the First Presbyterian Church there, and enjoyed that. Ian Murray is another one that I have on here. Ian Murray was such a blessing.
Yes, in fact, let's pick up on Ian Murray when we come back, because we have to go to our final break.
All right.
Don't go away, folks. Yep. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, please go to Solid Ground Christian Books website, solid-ground-books.com, for all your gift-giving needs for Father's Day and for wedding anniversaries and for birthdays, for bereavement gifts, and all the reasons why you'd be buying gifts at this time of year, graduation gifts, back-to-school gifts, and why not start stocking up for your Christmas gifts also, so you'll have it all done a long time before Christmas. It's solid-ground-books.com, because Solid Ground Christian Books is the primary sponsor of this show, and we really require them to financially support this program, and without them, we would likely not exist, barring a miracle of God. So please try to support them as much as you can so that they stick around and that they remain our advertisers and that we can continue broadcasting as a result. At solid-ground-books.com. And we are now back with our final portion of today's interview. And today our guest has been Ron McKinney of Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. And you were just speaking about Ian Murray when we went to the break.
Yes, I did. And, of course, Ian Murray was the man that was involved with Dr. David Martin Lloyd Jones and was a key figure in the book ministry. And I'm trying to remember.
Banner of Truth.
Banner of Truth. I can't believe I couldn't remember it. But, yes, Banner of Truth, you know, was what an amazing thing that was, because there was really no publishing of good material, biblical material, what I would call sovereign grace material. And so the Banner of Truth began to republish a lot of the older material of men, going back not only Spurgeon, but in fact, Ian Murray's book, The Forgotten Spurgeon, is one of the best books you can read about the sovereignty of God. It's just terrific. But they were printing some of the Puritan works, men that, you know, that were unheard of, and yet they were prominent men at one time. And so the book ministry began. And much of it was the headquarters in the United States is right there in Carlisle, isn't it?
That's right.
Yes, sir. And I've been there to Carlisle. I've seen that, and you know, it's amazing what has happened over the years. How many books there have been that's been published, new writings, but a lot of the old writers have come back. Richard Sibbes is one I'm thinking of, anyway, they just any number of them.
We have a question. We have a question for you.
Right.
From Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. He wants to know if Rolf Barnard was any influence on you.
Oh yes, Rolf Barnard would be from Henry Mahan. And I don't know, I'm going to tell this because this is the way it happened. Rolf Barnard came to believe in the sovereignty of God about the time that I would say the 40s, 50s, I'm not sure exactly, but he was an evangelist, and he was a man who would say what he thought and believe, whether it was liked or not. To give an example, at one time he was preaching, and the lady came up to him. He says, "Mr. Barnard, don't you know that a drop of honey catches more flies than a gallon of gall. And Ralph Barnard said to him, he said, honey, he said, I'm not trying to catch any flies. I'm trying to kill sinners. And he was a very, very straightforward man. And to preach sovereignty at that point would be shocking to people. And one of the people that he influenced the most, I mean, the man that was the man in Kentucky that I mentioned, Henry Mahan.
Right.
Henry Mahan was in this large Southern Baptist church, and he was an associate pastor, a very young man, and he was sitting down on the front pew when Ralph Barnard was preaching. And so he said to Henry, who was sitting on the front, he said, son, will you quote for me Romans 8:28 for me? And so he got up and he says, well, we know that all things work together for good. And he sat down. Ralph Barnard said, son, you didn't preach the rest, you didn't quote the rest of the scriptures. And so he then got up and he quoted, and to them that are called according to his purpose. And with that, Ralph Barnard said to him, he said, son, when you learn what that name, that word purpose means, then you're going to be ready to preach the gospel. You got to know what purpose is. And that was the thing that changed Henry Mahan's life in terms of his preaching. And, of course, he had a church of probably 300 or 400 people for many years, and he was their pastor there in Lexington, Kentucky.
And we have another listener. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who wants to know,
yeah,
are you familiar with Don Fortner's ministry?
I am, yes. I am familiar with him. I know that he has had a very powerful ministry. I've met him on occasion, but it's been a while back. My father-in-law was in Charleston, West Virginia, Dr. Robert E. McNeil, and he knew Don Fortner very well.
And he was very closely connected with Henry Mahan, who you've already mentioned.
Yes. Yes, they were. I did. I just didn't. My path didn't cross with him very much, but I was certainly aware of him, and I met him. I know. But
well, you know, we're already out of time. And do you have an idea yet what you'd like to speak on tomorrow when you come back?
Well, you know what I'd like to do. I'd like to just speak a little bit about my views towards the whole matter of what it is to be in Christ and converted.
That sounds great.
I feel like it's a chord that needs to be strung and played. And so that would be something I'd love to do. And I could give you some, illustrations of what
great
God has done in the lives of some people.
Well, I want to give your address, or your email address, I should say. Not your email, I'm sorry. Your website. To our listeners,
yeah,
it's KinseyDriveBaptistChurch.com, K-I-N-S-E-Y, DriveBaptistChurch.com. Thank you so much, Pastor Ron, and I look forward to our discussion tomorrow. And I want everybody to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.